Joy to be here with you all. We're just thankful. As I remember, I just gave my wife my phone, but on the way here, I got a text asking for prayer for a little Savannah that has a tumor, and they think it's cancerous, and they're going to operate, or it sounded like they were going to do an operation, and it sounded like it's almost like an infant. But it was a little short text. And so I don't have too many more details than that, but I think it would be a blessing maybe if we would just stand and lift our voice and also have a word of prayer for little Savannah. Father, We think carefully as we open our mouth and make words. We have yet to see your greatness. We have yet to understand who all it is that we lift our voice to. You have yet to show us so much about yourself, Lord. We do honor you. We do fear you, and we do trust you, and we have our confident faith in you. And we do worship you. In small ways, we understand how great you are. We're so blessed to be able to worship you. Father, this service, you know that none of us here have what we need. We need you. You know that all of us together, all that we know together is nothing compared to what you know. Thank you, Lord, that we have your word and that we can put confidence in your word. Would you open your word to us today, Lord? Would you teach us? Would you help us as we journey through this life? Would you help us, Lord? Would you guide us? Would you lead us? Would you continue to point us in the right way? And Lord, even just now we think of little Savannah. We do not know for sure where she is. We know she's in another state. We don't have hardly any details, Lord, but we were asked to pray to you. And you're the only one that can do anything to help Savannah. And we just pray we commit her into your hands, Lord. And we thank you that you're willing to make her whole. And we know that you're able. And we thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer together. And we thank you, Lord, for being with us here today and for guiding and leading us. Thank you, Lord. In your worthy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I was pretty blessed with the opening words that Lewis shared. Felt like you should have just kept going, Brother Lewis. I do want to say that I'm thankful for all the seeking after God that is here. And this is only a message to encourage and strengthen. It is not indicating that we're not striving after God. Probably this message is a reflection of my own heart seem like in life there's not too much else that is very important to me than to strive after God, to seek to know Him in a deeper way, to seek to understand Him. And I know that we live in a life where our goals, our resolves are challenged because we have other responsibilities. All of us do. But I hope that somehow I can encourage you that every time you choose to strive after God, every time you choose to take the time to seek Him, that you'll be more and more convinced of our need for that. I just somehow pray that God can use this in my life and all of our lives together. I just pray that when everything is over, what will matter is how much of God that we experienced here on earth, how much of Him, how intimately we've gotten to know Him, and how deeply we care to know Him. I do want to remind us at the beginning of these few thoughts somehow God has given us all one opportunity to seek for Him in this life. And we're not sure just how long that opportunity will last. We're not promised tomorrow. But there's nothing in life that really means much to me other than God. And I say that we have dear brothers and sisters, we have family. But when everything is where it really is in reality, there's nothing that I really get much satisfaction out of in life other than seeking God. And believe it or not, the Bible has quite a bit to say about seeking God, pursuing. There's different words. There was a Hebrew word dictionary that gave me some idea of some of the different English words that are throughout in the Bible that are used that could be almost interchanged. And so that it encompasses a lot of different scriptures. And maybe today, it seems like I don't even know how to tell you to seek for God. Maybe you won't learn anything new today. And it seems like today there's so little that I can tell you about. I can't tell you near as much about God as I would like. But I do know that every moment that you can, every prayer, every time you look to Him, God does something in our heart and in our life. And again, I trust this can be an encouraging word. All of you young people, teach one of us. Not a condemning word, an encouraging word. that we all have responsibilities in life. But let us continue to make this our number one goal, our number one pursuit, is to strive after God. I oftentimes wonder how it will be in eternity. Will we know in eternity who it was that got the closest to God? Will we know who sought Him most diligently? Will we know who put the most earnest and effort into knowing God and seeking Him? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I know that answer. Maybe someone does. But I guess if I could save even just one of you young people a few years of toil and heartache, I would say just skip all the other things that you're doing in your life to fill in your time. All those other things, if you can find the grace to just set those all aside and take all that time and give it to God to seek Him. It will save you a lot of heartache. It'll put you so much further ahead in life, and it will prepare you so much more for eternity. So again, we have this one opportunity, this one time to travel through this life, through this world. And I think the most important thing we can do is to strive after God. I'd like to just open up with this account here concerning this one journey through this world, one time to travel through life. Again, for those listening in, the title of our thoughts today are Strive After God. When I was a young man, says James Simpson, there lived a man in our neighborhood who was universally reported to be uncommonly liberal and very giving in his dealings. When he had any of the produce of his farm to sell, he made it an invariable rule to give good measure, overly good measure, rather more than could be required of him. One of his friends, observing his frequently doing so, questioned him why he did it. He was told by his friend that he gave too much and said it would not be to his own gain to continue. Now, mark the answer of this man. He said, God Almighty has given me but one journey through this world, through life, and when I'm gone, I cannot return to rectify mistakes. Think of this, friends, but one journey through this world. And I say that to lay the foundation in a deeper way to strive after God. Hence our encouragement today to strive after God. This word strive is an interesting word. I intentionally chose this word. I wanted this word to convey what it means. It means to make a concerted effort towards achieving a result. It means to contend. And the Greek word, I think these definitions come out of the Lion's Concordance. To contend, agonize, laboring fervently after God. And you know, the minute we stop doing that, it shows up in our life. I had to think of Jesus' words here. He said, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. So the word strive here means to contend, agonize, and labor fervently. Some other scriptures I have in here out of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I think we'll just read. Know ye not that they which run in a race... Let me start over here. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? surround that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when we have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Some scriptures there from Paul, again, to continue to just lay a bit of a foundation here. Paul is telling us that everyone should run, that they may be the ones that obtain the prize, you might say. Then he goes on and talks about striving for mastery and how he keeps his body and brings it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Interesting words here from the Apostle Paul. As we think of his life, we know that he strove after God. We also have a scripture here in Zephaniah that I'd like to open with here. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3, if you have your Bibles. It says, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." And I'm just not realizing I have this scripture here. Not in the right place. My apologies. I meant to have it on down further where I have some more comments with it. Maybe I can just make some of those comments now. I think we'll keep going. May all the humble turn to God. May God strengthen us to persevere and to increase more and more. Again, my thought here is may we just continue. I believe there's so many challenges, so many situations, so many responsibilities, so many things. And may I just encourage you to add to what you have of God, to increase it. To strive after God, to add to what you have more and more. I think that's a beautiful picture. May we seek God that we may have Him more fully, more perfectly, knowing Him more clearly, loving Him more ardently, cleaving to Him more inseparably, living in more holiness, walking in more purity, praying in more power, understanding more fully His honor, finding His will in a deeper way, seeing more souls salvaged, cleansed and redeemed, saved and washed. May we seek Him so that we may have His ear, so that He hears our prayers, so that we know His intimate will, so that we walk with Him every step of the way. That we may serve Him more perfectly, not for ourselves, but it is for others. I trust that our heart isn't just for ourselves and everything we do, but that our lives may influence others in a better way. So here's a bit of a harder part of the message. I have Amos 6:1 here. "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the Mount of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. At ease is careless, wanton, and arrogant." And this word here is again just a word that maybe God can use in our hearts. It's easy for us to not be as alert and to not be watching as the Word of God teaches us to not be awake and to not be as attentive, even about our own lives, as God would have us be. "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion." I think if we're at ease, we have woe that is coming. So I just want to encourage us to continue to seek, to experience, to know, to understand God in a greater measure. Can we accept that today as an encouraging word from the Lord? That we seek Him, that we experience Him, to know Him and understand God in a greater measure. One of the reasons for the encouragement, there's a danger, a good chance of stopping short. You know, we're human enough that we can go so far, and without realizing it, we can slow down, we can ease up, we can stop, we can actually turn around and go the other way. There's always this good chance of stopping short. There are difficulties, challenges, trials. All these can hinder and cause us to stop short. To stop short of reaching all of God. Reaching God in His fullness as we want. As we think we have. One observation, one thing I had to think about as I was meditating on this, is somehow God put it in us. We chase things. We pursue. We follow after. We seek. God has made us with these qualities. And sometimes it's good for us to stop and think about what we're chasing, what we're seeking, what we're running after, what we're pursuing. And let us turn as much of that to seeking, to chasing God, to seeking God, to pursuing God as we can. You know, I believe that we find so much in God. God meets so many of our needs when we are alone with Him, when we're intimate with Him, when we're seeking Him, when we're praying to Him. There's so many things that God does in our hearts. There's so many needs, so many wants, so many of those things that are taken care of. I had a section here in my notes to talk about that some. You know, God made us all with needs. We have emotional, physical, and spiritual needs. And there are so many ways that those needs can be met in our day. But it is up to us to make sure that they are met the way God wants to meet them. God is able to meet all of those needs, but it takes time to seek Him and understand how He wants to do that sometimes. And as we consider our own lives, what would you surmise is your greatest need? Do we see our deep need for God and what God has for us? The greatest need that we have is for God. God made us that way. The greatest need God created mankind to need is Himself. God created in each of us a need so enormous, so great that only God Himself can meet this want in us, this need in us, these things we want. And it hurts to see us try to meet these needs, this emptiness, whatever you want to call it, with these other things that don't satisfy. They don't truly work. They don't truly meet the needs we have. The fact that we can find nothing to substitute for God proves that we were designed by God to need Him. You know, when you stop and think about it, there's really nothing that can take the place that God has for us in our lives. There's not a thing. There's no substitute for God. There's all this philosophy and all of these other things that we can stop short of God, or that we can try. But there is no substitute for God Himself. We're designed by God to need Him. And you know, it's one thing to find God, and I think we have. Let us find more of Him. But it's another thing to receive from God everything that we truly need. everything we seek for. We all are made as needy creatures. And I'm the first one here. This message is for me. But may we continue to learn to have God meet those needs, those deep needs in our lives. So Ecclesiastes 3:11, I have it in a different translation here. But it does give a sense here. The one phrase here, it's paraphrased, it says, a divinely implanted sense of a purpose working through the ages with nothing under the sun but God can satisfy. So what I think I'm going to do is I think I'm going to read it in out of the King James Version here as well first. But to me it was this, the way this other translation added to it was interesting to me. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. It says, He hath made everything beautiful in His time, and also He has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. The King James here uses the word world, and I should have looked into this more. And I didn't hardly study this verse at all. But this different translation seems to refer to it. This is how it reads. It says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. He also has planted eternity in men's hearts and minds. So instead of the word world here, this other translation uses the word eternity. He has made everything beautiful in His time. He has also planted eternity in men's hearts and minds. And it goes on to describe it. It says, a divinely implanted sense of a purpose working through the ages which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. In other words, here's the picture that God has made us in a way that He is the only one that can truly bring true satisfaction into our lives. To finish the verse here, it says, yet so that men cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. There's no way that we as men will ever understand what all God has done. But I do know that the Word of God has convinced me, and I trust it will you here today, that when we have God and we are continuing to seek Him, we have everything that we could possibly need. May God convince each one of us that we are all created to long after Him. All those longings of lesser things will still continue to be there until they're met by God Himself. It is emptiness to seek fulfillment elsewhere. It is not just a coincidence that we hunger and thirst for God, that we can choose to do that. We long for God because we're created to do so by God Himself. If we allow God to, He will show us the emptiness of the things that we are trying to meet those longings with in our own lives. They're empty if they're not of God, if they're not from the ways of God, if they're not from the principles of God's Word. They're empty, and may we allow God to show us the emptiness of those things that we're trying to meet the longings in our life with. Isaiah 43 verse 7 says, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yeah, I have made him. This is just more scripture to help give credence to some of the things I've said about God and how He's made us and how He's made us for Himself and how He's made us to bring glory to Him. The picture here is that God is saying, I produced you out of nothing. And truly He has. He says, I've given you that particular form and shape which is best suited for you and your life. I have adapted you to accomplish my counsels and designs, God is saying. Our purpose here on earth is to see, seek, know, love, and admire, and glorify, and praise God. Strive after God. I want to encourage us in this way. Also, I'd like to take this scripture here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Again, there's a lot of scripture that I don't feel like I've done justice to today as we continue here. We probably know this scripture by heart. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27 says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him." And it's interesting here that it is a representative figure of God. Man is made in the image of God. We are made in God's spiritual, intellectual, and moral likeness. I think it's obvious that our physical bodies are made from dust. And we can't say that about God. There's one thing I did want to say at the beginning of the message here, that I pray that as I refer to God, it can be an honor every time I refer to Him and every time I use His name in these thoughts. But I think it's obvious that God is not dust. He's far beyond that. But our physical bodies are made from dust. So it has to be, it seems like it's God's spiritual, intellectual, and moral likeness that we're made in the image of. And I just want to remind us too, I'm not sure how many men have spent their lives researching all of God's creation. Many men have spent much of their lives trying to figure out what all God has created, and there's still things being discovered. And there has yet to be found anything else that God has created that is made in His image besides us. And that is very sobering. That is very sobering to me. So God created man in His own image. It's God wanted us to have His image in our lives. A little account here that I found that helps drive this a little deeper home. We're made in God's image. The king of Prussia, while visiting a village in his land, was welcomed by the school children of that place for a visit. After their speaker had made a speech for them, the king thanked them. Then taking an orange from a plate, he asked, "To what kingdom does this belong?" "The vegetable kingdom, sir," replied a little girl. The king then took a gold coin from his pocket and holding it up asked, "And to what kingdom does this belong?" "To the mineral kingdom," said the girl. "And to what kingdom do I belong then?" asked the king. The little girl colored deeply, for she did not like to say the animal kingdom as she thought she should, lest His Majesty should be offended. Just then it flashed into her mind that God made man in His own image. And looking up with a brightening eye, she said, "To God's kingdom, sir." The king was deeply moved. A tear stood in his eye. He placed his hand on the child's head and said, "Most devoutly, God grant that I may be accounted worthy of that kingdom in whose image we are made." It is astounding truth that God has made us in His image. And that only goes to, again, strengthen what has been said about our need for God. That nothing can satisfy the deepest longings of our heart. Nothing in this life. You can have everything in this life has to offer and be the neediest person there is, because God is the only one that truly satisfies the things He has put in our life. The needs we have in our life, if I can say it right. This Hebrew word image refers to deity, God. And it's interesting to me that it was always strictly forbidden, if I remember right, in the Old Testament to make any carvings or any sculptures that represent God. It's interesting that they made other carvings. They fashioned cherubim. They made candlesticks and bulls, and they had almonds with branches, I think, and knops and flowers and all these other things. But when it came to carving anything that was supposed to represent God, it was always very strictly forbidden, and it still is. Because there's no way that we can give God even the beginning of a right representation with anything that is made in any way. It's impossible. So God has always forbidden that, and I should have put some scripture in here, and I didn't think of it till now, that would go with what I'm saying. But I'm saying all of this about our image and about how wrong it is to make an idol that's supposed to represent God, because in our day it's very easy to be caught in idolatry. And you know, we wouldn't think of kneeling down and worshiping an idol. I don't think we would. But where our time goes when it's not going into the responsibilities that are given us, if it's going into wasting time, into pleasure, and into things that are when it should be going into seeking God, then that thing we're giving our time to can so easily become an idol in our lives. And may God help us in this area today. May we take another evaluation of where our time and our resources and the things that we're giving, the things that we're pursuing, and the things, like I say, we all have responsibilities, and I don't want anyone to be condemned in that way, but then there's time after those responsibilities. And that is the time that I think God is always aware of what we do with. God is aware of how deeply we want Him. God knows this. I had to think of, I'll get to that maybe a little bit later. I would say we find ourselves at a really good place. Man finds himself at a really good place when he comes to the place where he can say that he is not God. Then we can begin to seek God. Because so often man is serving himself, seeking to do all kind of things for himself without even realizing it. And once we come to the place where we are convinced that we're not God, our own God, or God, we're in a good place. Then we can be ready to seek God with all of our heart. As Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him." I've read this over and over. I just love these words. It says, "Thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." We know that these words are in the Bible numerous times, and we know that they're in the New Testament. And I love these words. Let us define the word seek. It is to strive after. The intention is that the object we seek is to be found. In other words, I'm not sure where I looked this up in a Hebrew lexicon or what it was, but the Hebrew picture, it isn't this hopeless seeking. It's just, it's almost like in the imperative to where if we will do it, we will surely have those things that we're seeking after. And that is so encouraging. We see a promise hinged. We see a condition here. We see the promise that is hinged on a condition, if I can say it right here in this scripture. It says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." So here it is up to us to try to understand what are the things that are the conditions in my life. What are the ifs that are coming between me seeking God with all my heart? Where are the resources that God has given me that can go to seeking Him? Where are they going? That is up to us to try to determine and to understand in our own lives. We have a promise of being successful in this verse, of finding the very thing we pursue. God knows whether He matters more to us than other things. And it's those other things that are truly wasteful and that are truly amount to nothing. When there are souls around us, when there are so many other things that we know we should be doing. Those are the things that God knows. Those are the things that God sees in our lives. And those are the things that God wants us to be willing to bring to Him and to surrender to Him. Somehow God is aware of how serious we are about Him. That thought came to me as I was meditating on this. And for some reason, my mind went to this scripture in Daniel. And I should have put more of it in here probably. But in Daniel 5:27, I'm going to have to turn there. I can hardly pronounce this king's name. It was Nebuchadnezzar's son, if I remember right. I can hardly pronounce his name when I see it, let alone from memory. So let me turn here. It says, and give just a little more of this. So Daniel's here interpreting what happened to this king, Belshazzar. And in verse 27 he says, "Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting." And for some reason my thought went to this scripture when I thought about how God knows what matters most to us. God is aware about how serious we are about Him at all times. We don't know how often God is weighing us in the balances. This king Belshazzar had no idea that he was being weighed when he was. But his kingdom was taken from him. It goes on. It says, "Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians." Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a gold chain about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be made the third ruler in the kingdom. And in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius, the Median, took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Somehow God knows. I just want us to think about that. It says here, "Thou art weighed in the balances and thou art light." God knows. God is constantly able to weigh us. God understands what is important to us. So I'd like to read a few scriptures here out of Hosea chapter 6. I guess it's just one scripture. Hosea chapter 6 verse 3. It says, "Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord." Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning. And it's interesting how God prepares each morning special for us. Sometimes there's a sunrise. Sometimes there's a shower. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning. And He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain, and in the former rain unto the earth. So in another translation here, let me just read the same scripture. Yes, let us know, recognize, be acquainted with, and understand Him, God. Let us be zealous to know the Lord, to appreciate, give heed to, and cherish Him. His going forth is prepared and certain as the dawn. And He will come to us as the heavy rain, as the latter rain that waters the earth. And I'm realizing here that I didn't add many comments after that scripture. We go on to Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3. And there's actually a whole bunch of scriptures here that I brought with me that we probably won't have time to look at. But Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have brought His judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." Now, is that the scripture that I read earlier? Yeah, I have the scripture in there twice. My apologies. I hadn't read that earlier here today. But so, this scripture here is encouraging us to seek righteousness, seek meekness. Seek righteousness for our own lives and for others. Righteousness is a marvelous thing. Isn't it a blessing that there is such a thing as righteousness? And may we seek it, not just for our own lives, but for others as well. As 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, I'd like to just read these scriptures here. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Seek righteousness. Also seek to understand God's truth. I think we see in these couple of scriptures here in Hosea and Zephaniah. Seek to understand the truth about God. You know, it seems like as long as we're in this earthly body, it is a battle to see God as He is. It is easy for us to allow philosophies and human reasoning and all these other things to somehow change our view of God and to not see God as He is. I'm not sure if I'm making sense. And to even understand truth. Sometimes it's easy for us, even when we're reading the Word of God, we see truth and we don't understand it. But may we seek God to understand God's truth. As Romans chapter 3 says, there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Think of those words. There's none that seeketh after God. Psalm 53 verse 2 says, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, to see if there were any that did seek God. And that is a sobering verse. Remember this one for sure. Psalm 53 verse 2. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand or seek Him. God is looking for this. He looks down. He's trying to understand. He's trying to see who all is seeking Him and who all wants to understand His ways. These scriptures talk about seeking meekness, and that's something we can continue to seek for. Or in my life, I definitely need. Someone has said, we are shaped and fashioned by what we love. Just continuing to encourage us to seek after God. Eventually we come to bear and show forth the likeness of our chosen desires. I'm not sure who it was that said that. It's not original with me. But we cannot hide our desires. Eventually we come to bear and show forth the likeness of our chosen desires, the things we really seek after, the things we really want. First Chronicles chapter 28 verse 9. Here's another scripture. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. And if thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. But if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. There's a couple different scriptures that said that. It said, if we forsake God, that He will cast thee off forever. And I'm not sure if I put some of the other scriptures in here. But that's sobering. It's like we have a choice to either continue to strive after God and to seek for Him, or else eventually He will cast us off forever. There were different scriptures that said that. God is looking for those who understand how important it is to seek Him. Psalm 14, 2 and 3. Wow, I just got done reading that. Psalm 14, I have it in here twice too, sorry. Should have read through my notes again. So I think we'll go on here. I think it's good for us. It seems too simple to say, but there's two things that I think will help us to strive after God, to seek for Him. One is to be completely convinced that God exists. God is. He says over and over in His Word, I am. We must believe that He is. And the second one is that we are accountable to Him. That someday we will all stand before Him. And if we believe these two things, I think it will compel us to seek Him. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Isaiah 55:6 seems to indicate that there will be a time when God will not be able to be found. There's a time when God will not be found. And I thought of these scriptures in Jeremiah. Listen to them. Jeremiah 7:16. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Jeremiah 11:14. Therefore pray not for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they may cry unto me for their trouble. Jeremiah 14. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people, for their good. Something went wrong there. Yeah, let me read it here out of the Bible. Jeremiah 14:11-12. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. When they offer burnt offering in an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Anyway, I'm just using these scriptures, there's more, to validate what I said, that there's, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. There's a time, it seems like, when God will not be found. To seek the Lord while He may be found implies, among other things, this, that the Lord is lost to those thus called to seek Him. We can miss God. We can grow distant from God. Hence our encouragement to strive after Him. I was also thinking when the Bible says to seek the Lord. Yeah, I think we'll leave that. It says, it was interesting to me how often in the Word of God it says, seek the Lord. Seek God while thou canst see Him. For when thou seest Him, thou canst not find Him. I'm not reading this right. Seek God while thou canst not see Him, for when thou seest Him, thou will no longer be able to get right with Him. Seek Him by hope, and thou shalt find Him by faith. In the day of grace He is invisible, but near. In the day of judgment, He is visible, but far off. It doesn't say seek happiness, seek peace, seek fulfillment. It doesn't say seek joy, it says seek the Lord. Amos 5:8 says, seek Him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them upon the face of the earth. The Lord is His name. Seek Him because He will never change. He's the same yesterday and today. Seek Him because He is all goodness. Seek Him because He is all power. He is so powerful. Seek Him because of His name. The Lord is His name, and there is no name so good as the name of the Lord. Seek Him because of His unlimited power. by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Let us seek Him as He bids us to in His word. As Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He that cometh to God. To come to God is to be vividly conscious of Him and to realize His goodness and grace, to touch Him and to speak to Him and to pray to Him and to feel His presence. It is exciting. We can have this. Acts 17, verse 27 and 28. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own prophets have said, for we are also His offspring. If haply, it says here, if haply they may feel after Him. Let me check something here real quick. It's interesting how it uses the word feel. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. Haply, if perhaps, implying that it was possible to find God, though it might not always be easy, we may experience some difficulty. God has placed us here and has made it possible for us to find Him. Seek to find the proof that God truly does exist. May we study His good and marvel at His benevolent love. Though He be not far, this seems to be stated by the apostle to show that it was possible to find Him, and that even those who find themselves estranged from God need not despair, but need to seek Him, seek to know Him. Truly, He is very near to us. Strive after God. Psalm 119, verse 2 says, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Yeah, I think a good part of my burden here has been shared. I think we'll go on towards closing here. Someone has said, there is necessity laid upon every soul to find God. No matter how wise and cultured, if man does not find God, he has missed the object of his existence. And I believe that is so true. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Let us seek to find God, His enlightening truth, His pardoning mercy, His sanctifying grace, His indwelling presence, His complete fullness, His eternal life, this life, may we find His eternal life that may take each one of us beyond the grave. This is how we are to seek God, with the whole heart, not hypocritically or lukewarmly, but with all the powers and energies of the soul, with our understanding, our will, our conscience, and our affections. Let us seek Him supremely, above every other object, diligently, in all the means of salvation, immediately without delay or procrastination, earnestly, with zealous and undivided hearts, continually being faithful unto death. I think I would like to read some of these thoughts again here in closing, maybe a little slower. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Let us seek to find in God His enlightening truth, His pardoning mercy, His sanctifying grace, His indwelling presence, His complete fullness, and that eternal life that may take each one of us beyond the grave. This is how we should seek God, with the whole heart, not hypocritically or lukewarmly, but with all the powers and energies of the soul. Seek Him with our understanding, our will, our conscience, and our affections. Let us seek Him supremely, above every other object, diligently in all that means of, in all the means of salvation, immediately, without delay or procrastination, earnestly, with zealous and undivided hearts, continually being faithful unto death. Strive after God. The word strive means to make a concerted effort towards achieving a result. It is God that we want. To contend, agonize, labor fervently. May all the humble turn to God. I'd just like to close with this one last sentence here. God has made us many, many promises. God has promised pardon to the penitent, but He has not promised tomorrow to the negligent. Nowhere do we have a promise for tomorrow to seek God. Seeking God is one of those things that is easy to put off. We think, well, when I get older, well, when I don't have this in my life, well, when. And I just want to encourage us that God has many, many promises for us. But He does not promise tomorrow to those of us that are negligent to do those things that we know we should. The Lord's blessings to you. Strive after God. I trust that we will, I know you are, and I just trust this will deepen that commitment. The Lord's blessings to each one of you.